Parshas Vayera begins with HaKadosh Baruch Hu visiting Avraham Avinu with no nevuah. He doesn't tell him any message at all. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Bav Metzia, the first Rashi on the parsha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to be Mevak HaChaylam. The main sugya of Bik HaChaylam is in the Dorim, when the Mishnayos talk about a situation where one is a Muda Hanor Mechaveiro. Person is so angry at the other person, he takes a neder not to get Hanor from him. So the question is the other person permitted to be Mevak HaChaylam? If he comes and he's a Mevak HaChaylam and he makes him feel better, is that considered a violation of Muda Hanor? So that's a discussion in the Mishnah and the Gemara. And the Gemara there talks about the nature of the din of Bika Cholim. So Bika Cholim in the days of the Gemara is not the way it is today. Bika Cholim means you have to do whatever is in your power to heal the patient, to help him get better. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva had thousands of students, and apparently he took attendance every day, and he noticed that a certain student was absent a few days in a row. So he asked about the students. They told him that he's sick. So he went to the dormitory room and he opened the window and he got fresh air and he washed the sheets and he washed the pajamas and he cleaned the floors. He made the hygienic conditions better, and thereby he got the patient, the student of his, to get better. So the Gemara seems to describe the mitzvah Bika Cholim is to help heal the patient. Today, a person is sick, so he calls his doctor, so the doctor prescribes a medication. So the doctor is doing the Bika Cholim. Or if one is in the hospital, so the doctors and the nurses are taking care of him, whatever is necessary. So the only thing that's left is, we know that if the patient is in a happier mood, he'll get better faster than if he's in a miserable mood. So we call on the phone or we come to visit the person and we put him in a better mood. So this helps him along improve his medical condition. But the mitzvah Bika Cholim really is to do whatever is in your power to heal the patient. The Gemara in the Dorim, and that's sugya Bika Cholim, the Gemara says that one should not be Mevak HaChaylam the first 3 hours of the day or the last 3 hours of the day. First 3 hours in the day, the patient had a good night's sleep, and he looks very rested and healthy. And the one who comes to be Mevak HaChaylam may not offer a tefillah that he should get better because he looks pretty healthy. The last 3 hours of the day, the patient may be so sick, he'll be so exhausted from the whole day, so he looks like it's a hopeless case. And the one who comes to be Mevak HaChaylam may not offer a tefillah because he thinks that the Cholim is not going to get better. He doesn't see any chance that the Cholim is going to get better. So it's important that the Bika Cholim should take place at a time that the Mevak HaChaylam is able to offer a tefillah. So the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch in the end of Yerideya ends with the Dinim of Avelus. So Avelus begins with the Dinim of Hilchas Roifim. The doctors are permitted and obligated to heal patients if they're qualified. They have to have a license to practice medicine, a license from the government. The dinim in the days of the Gemara, the government or the Rabbonim gave a license to practice medicine. So then the Ramah quotes from the Ramban on Nedorim on that Gemara. So what's so terrible if the one is Mevak HaChaylam, won't offer a tefillah? So the Ramban says it would appear from the Gemara that if you don't offer a tefillah, that the Cholim should get better, you haven't done the maximum in your power to help him get better. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the end of the day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rofe Cholim, or Mafli Lasois. And you're obligated, Mitam Bika Cholim, you're obligated to do the maximum in your power to help the Cholim get better. Same thing, we have an obligation to hasten the coming of Mashiach. One opinion in the Gemara is that that's the nature of the mitzvah Piri or Berivya. There's a machlokes. Kodem Matan Torah, the din of Piri Berivya applied to all the Umas Olam, Puruvu Milus Haaretz, to populate the globe, populate the earth. After Matan Torah, the Gemara said the mitzvah Piri Berivya only applies to the Bnei Yisrael. So what's the nature of the mitzvah? So there was one opinion in the Gemara that we don't accept. One opinion was that even if one has children and they die before they themselves get married and able to have their own children, the person has fulfilled Piri Berivya, because the nature of the mitzvah is to hasten the coming of Mashiach. because there's a chamber in heaven that's called Guf, Gimel Vav Pei, and all Jewish neshamas are stored in that chamber. And every time a Jewish baby is born into the world, another neshama comes out from that Guf to this world. And Ein Ben David Bo, Ashiach L'Kol Neshama Sheba Guf. The Melech HaMashiach will only come when all of those neshamas, all the Jewish neshamas, will be brought down to the world. So even if people have children and they die, but since the child was alive for a short period of time, he brought down that neshama. So he accomplished the goal of the mitzvah, namely hastening the coming of Mashiach. We don't accept that opinion, but we do accept the view that there is a chiyuv to hasten the coming of Mashiach. So the Rambam writes in Igeres Teiman, there was a Meshugana who was in Teiman. He thought that he was the Melech HaMashiach. So the people in Teiman sent a letter to the Rambam. He should psychoanalyze the person long distance without meeting him. So he said the person is a Meshugana, and he's not the Melech HaMashiach. And he says, first of all, Melech HaMashiach has to appear in Eretz Yisrael. And number two, so maybe he'll reappear. He can't appear in Teiman. And then maybe he'll reappear in Eretz. So he says, no, the Pasuk says in Navi, it'll be an unknown figure until the day he will be Nizgala. So now this man already announced that he's Mashiach in Teiman. So he lost his chance. He can't be the Melech HaMashiach. Then he says he can't be the Melech HaMashiach if he's telling the people to do Keneged Adin. It was encouraging all the Balabatim that they should give away all of their money to charity, to tzedakah. So he said, that's Keneged Adin. The Mishnah and Erech in the end of Erech says, even you're not even allowed to give to Hegdash all of your assets. You can give some of your money to Hegdash, some of your money to tzedakah, but you're not allowed to give too much. You can't give everything away. So this fellow who claims that being a Mashiach is encouraging all the people to go Keneged Adin, he's not Mashiach. So the Rambam writes there a little bit about the Igeres Teiman. He writes a little bit about the coming of Mashiach. So he has a lot of things that he has in the end of the Mishnah Torah. The last few chapters in the Rambam's Yarech HaZokeh are about Bias HaMashiach. I don't think there are any contradictions. There has some things in the Igeres Teiman that don't appear in the Mishnah Torah, and has some things in the Mishnah Torah that don't appear in the Igeres Teiman. So you have to put everything all together. So the Rambam writes there in the Igeres Teiman, there's an obligation to hasten the coming of Mashiach. But what can we do? We don't have Mashiach in the palm of our hand. We don't control when he's going to come. So what can we do to hasten the coming of Mashiach? So he says, we can pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every day we offer a prayer. Please hasten the coming of Mashiach. So just like the obligation to be Mevakeh Chayla, what can we do? We have an obligation to hasten the refuah, to help the patient get better. What can we do? We're not doctors. The answer is, we can offer a prayer, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him get better. That's the maximum we can do. So the same over here, we all have an obligation to hasten the coming of Mashiach. So we have to pray every day to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should hasten the coming of Mashiach. They say, once a person came to me, Mevakeh Chayla, Rav Velvele Soloveitchik, and he was a nudnik. And he overstayed his visit. So Rav Velvele kept on dropping hints that the fellow should please leave. He didn't want to bop him over the head. So the person didn't get the hints. Until finally, Rav Velvele said he always wondered what's the minimum amount of time that you have to spend by the Chayla in order to be Mekayim Bika Chayla. So he has the Gemara says in the dorm, you shouldn't be Mevakeh Chayla the first 3 hours of the day. Because it looks so rested, you won't offer a prayer. You shouldn't be Mevakeh Chayla the last 3 hours of the day, because it looks so sick. You won't offer a prayer because you think that he's not going to get better. So from the 12 hours of the day, so the first 3 hours and the last 3 hours are out. They only have 6 hours in between. 6 hours, and every hour has 60 minutes. So it's, how much is that? 360 minutes. And then the Gemara says, Bika Chayla Mafila Me'a Pamim Bayom, even 100 times a day. There's an inyan of Bika Chayla. So how can it be 100 times a day if you only have 360 minutes to be Mevakeh Chayla? So if you divide it by 100, it comes out that you're it's a Bika Chayla if you're Mevakeh for 3.6 minutes. So you see that that's the shear. 3.5 minutes and you're Yotze with that. So the person finally took the hint and he left. Yeah, you have to be Mevakeh Chayla, but you have to be careful not to tax the patient too much. Chumash, the Medrash points out that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to receive the Torah, so the Malachim were arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shetan Hotchal HaShamayim, the chapter in Tehillim. Why did he give the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, give the Torah to us? And then one of the arguments was that the Jewish people are descendants of Avraham Avinu, and they violated. Avraham Avinu gave the Basar B'Cholov to the angels. So is that right that you should give the Torah to the human beings? So Taka, it's a question. If the Gemara says, Kim Avraham Avinu kala tarku la shela nitno, Avraham Avinu had kloyos yoatzos. He was able to figure out on his own what the Taryag mitzvahs are. And so he volunteered on his own to observe the mitzvahs. How come Taka, he's in violation of Basar B'Cholov? Says he gives Ben Abaka Shas Avraham Chema B'Cholov, gives Fleshiks and Milchiks at the same time. So the Marami Prague has a suggestion in the Gur Aryeh, on the Pasuk Boichel and Mishpachosov. He thinks that maybe it only makes sense Kiyam or Avinu Kol HaTorku L'Chulan Nitna only applies to mitzvahs Aseh, not to mitzvahs Loiseh. So there's a concept of Eina Mitzuva V'Yoseh on a mitzvahs Aseh. Women are not mechuyev to hear shofar, and they're not mechuyev to shake a lulav, but if they volunteer, then they get reward as an Eina Mitzuva V'Yoseh. So there's a concept of Eina Mitzuva V'Yoseh on a kiyum mitzvah, even though he's not mechuyev to do it. Does it make sense to be ena mitzvah v'yosa on an iser? So maybe that doesn't, that's what the Marami Prague thinks. It doesn't make sense. I'm not a kohen, and I'll be machma not to be metame l'meis. It has no sense. It has no mashmas to it. So there's no value in that. So there's such an opinion that the din of chinuch ktanim, the parents have an obligation to be mechanach the children. So the rishonim es kakasha, that the Gemara says in the end of Yevamos in Perek Cheresh, Kot Nechal, there's a machloikis, and we pass from Kot Nechal Nevelus, main bezem mitzulin lahafrisha. You can allow the child before bar mitzvah to eat non-kosher food, and bezem is not mechuyev to stop him from eating the treif food. So the Rishonim ask, how can it be? What happened to the mitzvah of chinuch, ktanim? You have to be mechanach the children. So they give two answers, basically two answers. We're machmeh for the both answers. So one answer is, the chinuch is only on mitzvahs aseh, not on mitzvahs l'aseh, because the katan is not a bar chiyuva, but there's a concept of ena mitzvah v'yoseh. So if you see to it that the katan will fulfill a mitzvahs aseh, then it has mashmois, it has meaning. But to see to it that the katan should not eat nevelos, there is no concept of ena mitzvah v'yoseh by lavin, by yisur. So that's what the Marami Prague thinks. The same is true. The Ov is only volunteered to observe mitzvahs aseh. It wouldn't make any sense to volunteer to observe the mitzvahs loiseh aseh because there's no kiyum. There's only a kiyum and a kiyum aseh. Other Bishanim gave a different answer. How come kot neichel nevelus? What happened to the din of chinuch? So they say, no, the din of chinuch is only on the parents. And the parents have a din of chinuch both on mitzvahs aseh and on mitzvahs loiseh aseh. The parents have to sit with it till children don't eat treifas. But ain't beza mitzuvin lafrisha. If it's anybody other than the parent, then there's no din of chinuch. So when Shulchan Aruch, in the middle of Hilchos Shabbos, in Shin Mem Gimel, that's the siman about chinuch haktanim. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens l'chum in both directions, that not only the parents, all of Klal Yisrael have to see to it that the child shall fulfill the mitzvahs asei, but with respect to mitzvahs loiseh, the others are not mechuyev, but the parents are mechuyev. So machma like the both answers that the Rishonim gave, but it's a big split. And the Rishonim, half of the Rishonim gave the one answer, half of the Rishonim gave the other answer. How come the Mishnah in the end of Yuma, the last parak in Yuma, says mechanchem es haktanim, you mechanach the children to fast on Yom Kippur? Isn't that an iser? So don't you see beferish that you have to be mechanach the ktanim before bar mitzvah, even on a lois essay? So the Rishonim say no, there's certainly a lois essay. The Mishnah in the third Perek and Makkos, Perek Elohein Aloikin, Mishnah says the one who eats on Yom Kippur gets Malkus because it's a lois essay. It's similar to Dumya de Lav de Chasima, similar to the Lav de Sachs Mishabedishai. And the Pasuk has V'hoyon bin HaKois HaRasha right next to the Pasuk of La Sachs Mishabedishai to indicate and Chumish Dvar Midash and Smuchim. One pasuk next to the other. Bereish is through about midbar. We only darshan a hekesh if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk. And chumash dvarim, the Gemara says that's the exception to the rule. You darshan even smuchim, because chumash dvarim, the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu was transmitting Torah Shabbal Peh to Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara and Yevamos on Daf Dalet Daf Hey Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu was transmitting the whole Torah Shebaal Peh to Bnei Yisrael before he dies. And then when you give over Torah Shebaal Peh, so you say over one din, then that reminds you of another din. So by association, you say another din. Then that by association reminds you of a third din, so you say another din. So each din leads by association to another din. So it's because Chumash Dvarim was Moshe Rabbeinu saying over, reminiscing, giving, transmitting the whole Torah Shabbat Peh to Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara said, that's why we darshan smuchim only in Chumash Dvarim. Because that's the way Talmid Chachamim transmit Torah Shabbat Peh by association. One din reminds him of another din, that in turn reminds him of a third din, of a fourth din, and so on. So we darshan smuchim. So that's the whole premise of the third perek in Maseches Makis. Who gets Malkis? The Chumash says, if the Bezin decides that the person is a Rasha, he deserves to get Malkus. Anyone is a Rasha gets Malkus. Which Rasha gets Malkus? The Gemara says that pasuk of Hayon bin Hakoyis HaRasha appears in the Chumash right next to the pasuk Losachs Mishor B'Dishai. So whoever violates an Aveir that's similar to Lav D'Chasima Losachs Mishor B'Dishai gets Malkus. So eating on Yom Kippur is a lois essay, that is clear. But fasting on Yom Kippur is a kiyum essay. So that's what the Balei HaTosfos say. Even if one should adopt that position, that the din of chinuch only applies to mitzvahs asay, doesn't apply to lois essay, but fasting on Yom Kippur is a kiyum essay. The Rambam says, are a kiyum mitzvahs asay. The same thing, one who does melocha on Shabbos or Yom Tov is in violation of a lois essay, but one who abstains from melocha not only has not violated a lois essay, but he has fulfilled Harei, the Rambam writes, Harei Zekiye Mitzvah Saseh. There's a Kiye Maseh B'Shevi Al Taseh. Usually Kiye Maseh is you lay tefillin, or you recite Kriya Shema, you shake a lulav, or you eat in the sukkah, sleep in the sukkah. Here you have a Kiye Maseh by not eating on Yom Kippur, or by not doing Malach on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the question was raised by the Medrash, how come Avraham Avinu is giving Basa B'Cholav to the Malachim? So in the end of Yerideya, in the Vilna edition of Yerideya, they have Haoris from Rav Shlomo of Vilna. He was the Dayan in Vilna for many, many years. He was, when Rav Chaim Moshe was appointed the chief Dayan, he was much older than him, and he was one of the major Dayanim. We mentioned he was the one, his grandson, Rabbi Markelis, used to teach in Yeshiva when I was a student in high school. And he said that he was a grandson. So he said the family tradition has it that Rav Shlomo of Vilna was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. And he corrected the galleys of the Vilna Shas from memory. He didn't have to check against another Gemara what it says in the text. He knew the Gemara Rashi and Tosfos word for word. And he checked over the galleys by just reading them. He didn't have to check against another Gemara. So Rav Shlomo of Vilna has a Oris in the end of the Yerideya Chelek Beis. They printed the Horus on Chelek Aleph Yerideya called Cheshit Shleima. So he quotes the Malbim on the Pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, who comes to, he's dealing with that issue. How come Avraham Avinu is Kim Kala Torah Kula? How come he's eating Basa B'Cholam? So he has an interesting comment on the Pasuk, Ben Abok Asher Osa Avraham. So the Pasuk Pshat Asher Osa, Asher Tikein Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu cooked it. He broiled it, whatever he prepared it. So the Malbim has an interpretation, Ben HaBakar She'osa, that Avraham Avinu created the behemoth, the Ben HaBakar, by using Sefer Yetzirah. And he says the behemoth is only fleshig if it's born from a Zohar and a cave, if it's born normally from animal parents. But if you mix together chemicals and you make a behemoth, that's what Sefer Yetzirah is all about. How to mix chemicals and make a behemoth. So such a behemoth is paraveh, so it's not subject to the laws of Basa B'Cholav. There was such a misunderstanding of the Mesha Chochma. Some fellow in Australia started a Bempakua farm, and he claimed that the Bempakua is paraveh. You're permitted to cook a Bempakua with milk. And he quoted such a passage in the Mesha Chochma. I thought it was ridiculous. I never bothered to look it up. But apparently other people looked it up, and they realized how he misread the Mesha Chochma. And the Mesha Chochma didn't say that. It cannot be. It's ridiculous. The Bempakua is fleshig. It's not paraveh. But the Rav Shlomo of Vilna claims, based on this Malbim, that if you mix together chemicals and you make flesh, that would be paraveh. The stomach would be fleshig, midrabbanan. That's the question now. Different companies are trying to make meat without having so many animals. So they want to take a tiny cell, and by using chemicals, they want to get the cell to reproduce itself. That's not the normal way that you develop meat. Normally, an animal is born. An animal is born from a zochan and a keva, and then it grows, and it develops meat like that. If you take a cell and you add chemicals and you get it to reproduce and make a lot of other cells, so there's room to argue the point based on this Malbim quoted by Rav Shlomo Levilner, that that should have the same status as flesh that was created, behemoth that was created through Sefer Yetzirah, that it would be part of it, but Mistama would be fleshig midirabbana. So you're not gaining too much. Still going to be fleshig midirabbana. Others felt not so. Others felt that it has all the properties of flesh, so it would be fleshig midantara, but it's not really true. It does not have all the properties of flesh. It doesn't have dam in it, not the same as real flesh. So that's a question, whether the flesh that they're trying to produce now, will that be fleshig midantara, or that be fleshig midirabbana? Then the Malachim were really sent, the Rapeus Avraham, the three angels, the Rapeus Avraham, and to notify Sarah that she's going to have the baby, and to destroy the five cities, the five towns, Stamba, Mora, Ad, Matzvaim, and so on. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amchas ani me'Avraham me'shashani oseh, am I going to keep it a secret? That's not right. So Rashi interprets, I gave Avraham Avinu all of Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to destroy five cities that belong to him. Steinbach, Moritz, etc. belong to Avraham Avinu. So that's not right. I'm going to destroy his property without notifying him. The Medrash has another, seems to have another, Shalom Chasani mi Avram. Will I succeed in keeping in a secret from Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu had Kloyos Yoatzos. He was able to figure out all of the Taryag Mitzvahs by looking into the world. That's how the Midrashim say at the beginning of Bereshis. Several Midrashim say, HaKadosh Baruch has tackled the Araisa of Bora Alma. He looked into the Torah and he created the world. So in a certain sense, the Torah is a blueprint of the world. So if you look into the world, you should be able to figure out what was in the blueprint. So that's what Avraham Avinu had, Kloyos Yoatzos. He was able to look into the world and figure out what the Taryag Mitzvahs of the Torah are. So the Medrash says, HaMachas Ani Me'Avraham, will I succeed in hiding this from Avraham Avinu? He figured out all the Taryag Mitzvahs on his own, and he figures out every day whatever we are mechadish in the Bezen Shalmaila. In Bezen Shalmaila, there are chidushim every day. Avraham Avinu is able to figure that also. So Avraham Avinu will figure out on his own that I'm destroying Sdom Amor. I can't keep it a secret from him, so I better discuss it with him. So the pasuk says, is that right? Hamachas ani be'Avraham, will I succeed, or is it right that I should keep it a secret? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises Avram ki yedaitiv, I love him. Amana sheitzav is banaviz beisrach v'olachas b'derech Hashem, to go in the ways of Hashem. But that's what the Rambam says. What does it mean? V'halachta v'drochav. That's one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. Think in the Rambam's listing, that's the fifth or the sixth of the mitzvahs. Avos Hashem, you have to have emun in Hashem. Achdus habari, only one God. Avos Hashem, yiras Hashem, and tefillah. Then I think either the fifth or the sixth mitzvah is v'halachta b'drachav, to go in the ways of Hashem. What do you mean to go in the ways of Hashem? So the Rambam has in Hilchos Deos, it means to go b'derech hamamutza. Person shouldn't be an extremist, not to one extreme, not to the other extreme. Should always go b'derech hamamutza in the middle of the road. They had tainus against Shadal, was a Jewish thinker in Italy, I think in the 1800s. And he had tainus against the Rambam. Why the Rambam quoted so much from Aristotle over here by the golden mean, by the going in the middle of the road, everything there in the Rambam is quoted from Aristotle. So the Maritz Chayis has a whole essay where he defends the Rambam. He says, true, Aristotle explained it well, but the idea didn't originate in Aristotle. The Rambam originally got the idea from the Gemara. The Gemara says, why is Parshas Nazir written right in the Chumash and Parshas Naso? Why is it written right next to the Parsha of Soita? Because Haroya Soita Bekilkula Yazar Atzmem and Ayayin. If you live in a generation that there's a lot of preachers in the area of Gilead Arise, like in our generation, then you have to go to the extreme. Yazar Atzmem and Ayayin, you shouldn't drink any wine. because drinking wine will make you drunk and then it'll cause people to sin in this area. So whenever, normally you should go b'derech hamamutza. You shouldn't go to one extreme or the other. But if you live in a generation, if you have a problem with a certain mitzvah or a certain midah, or you live in a generation where there's a problem, they have to go to the extreme over there. So you see the Chazal talking about this going, that's the first daf in Masechet Saita. The Gemara talks about Roy Saita Bikulkuli Yazirat Mimanayan. Otherwise, you have to go up there Chamamutza. So it's interesting. That's Manasha Lalechas Bederach Hashem. Yeah, Avraham Avinu is going to teach his children to go b'derech Hashem. That's the way to fulfill the mitzvah v'alachta v'drachov, to go b'derech hamamutza. What does it mean? L'mana she'itzaviz banaviz besa achrov. Avraham Avinu is going to be mechanech his children. That's the mocker of chinuch. Chinuch is a mitzvah deraisa. We say chinuch is the rabbanon. That means the fact that before bar mitzvah, min ha-Torah, it's sufficient if the parents explain to the children, you're not allowed to eat chazer. So today you're not yet bar mitzvah. Tonight is you're going to be bar mitzvah. So starting from tomorrow on, you're not allowed to eat chazer. You don't have to shake a lulav this sukkah, but next sukkah you're going to have to shake a lulav because by next sukkah you're going to be bar mitzvah. This Yom Kippur you don't have to fast. Next Yom Kippur you're going to have to fast because you're going to be bar mitzvah. So on the level of the raisa, that's chinuch, to educate the children and to explain to them all the mitzvahs so that after they'll be bar mitzvah, they'll observe them. The din of chinuch min the rabbana means the parents have either the parents of all of Klal Yisrael, those with the two opinions in the Rishonim, who has the chi of chinuch. There's a chi of chinuch to see to it that the children observe the mitzvahs now, even before they become bar mitzvah. That's only mid the rabbanon. But the Chumash speaks about chinuch the raisa ki adaitiv. I love Avraham Avinu l'mana sheitzaves banaves beisrach ulechad b'derech Hashem because he's mechanech his children. Chinuch of the children is certainly a din the raisa. Some of the parents today have the attitude. They want to present everything to the children. The children should make a decision. What do you mean the children make a decision? The children weren't there in Maimon HaSinai. Children didn't experience Kriyas Yamsuf and Makas Becheres. We didn't experience either. But we heard, I knew my four grandparents, my father's two parents and my mother's two parents. And they knew their parents and their grandparents, usually, unless somebody was murdered or killed or died young or something. So we have a historical tradition from Shishim Reba people between the ages of 20 and 60. There were women also between the ages, but probably Shishim Reba women between the ages of 20 and 60. There were people younger than 20, there were people older than 60, and there was Erev Rav. So there were a few million people who experienced, they saw with their own eyes, they saw the Esa Makas, and they saw the Gilui Shechina on the occasion of Makas Becheres and Kriyas Yamsuf and Maimon HaSinai. They saw the Gilui Shechina. So they witnessed all of this. So we have a historical tradition about all these things. What do you mean you're going to leave the children on their own to decide whether they want to be observant or not? You have to tell them all the traditions. This is Emes. These things really happen. It's Yes Mitzrayim, Maimon HaSinai, Makas Becheres, everything really happens. So we have to be Mechanach our children. That's the mitzvah of chinuch deraisa. The manish etzabez banavis beisach v'lechaz b'derech Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu that he plans to destroy the five cities, Sdom v'Amor, etc. And Avraham Avinu starts arguing, Ula yesh chamishin tzadikim b'soch ha'ir, and v'nasasa l'chalamokim b'avuram. In the schus of the five tzadikim, all the five cities should be nitzal. The 50 tzadikim, all the five cities should be nitzal. What kind of a concept is that? That tzaddik is megan on the door. So the Svasemis and the Chidushim on Gemara Tainis quotes what he heard from his grandfather, the Chidush Arim. That was the first Gerer Rebbe, was the Chidush Arim. So he commented, the Medrash has a comment, Ola yesh chamishim tzaddikim, tzaddikim nivli, fake tzaddikim, shvachat tzaddikim, not such strong tzaddikim. Why does the Medrash say tzaddikim nivli? Maybe means real good tzaddikim. So the Chidush Arim said, why should the door be nitzal in the schus of the tzaddik? The tzaddik, he deserves a hatzolah. The rest of the people deserve to be destroyed. So they'll be destroyed. He says, the only time the tzaddik is making on the door is if he's not such a gewaltige tzaddik. He deserves to be nitzal, but he doesn't deserve that it should be so bolate, it should be so obvious and clear to everybody that he's such a tzaddik. That it should be bolate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save the whole city in the schus of the tzaddik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save a whole institution in the schus of one person. The Gemara says in the first parak in Tainis, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives rain to a whole area because of one person. One person deserves rain. And it's not always so obvious in whose schus the rain is coming. Sometimes there may be in the schus the one who really deserves the rain is one farmer who's a big tzaddik. And the people don't realize it's in his schus. They think it's in their schus. It's really the schus of one of the farmers who's not so well known for his tzidkus. So that's the whole idea of a tzaddik being megan on the door. That's what the Chidushim suggested. It's only if the tzaddik deserves a hatzolah, but he doesn't deserve that it should be such an outstanding hatzolah that everyone else will be punished, everyone else will die, and he'll be the only one who's nitzol. He's not such an outstanding tzaddik. So therefore, in the schutz of the tzaddikim, the whole city will be nitzol. So the Sfasemis writes this over in the name of his grandfather, Chidush Arim, and he explains with this concept, he explains a Gemara there in Tainis. The Gemara says that there was once a Sreifa, there was a fire in the city where Rav lived, and half of the city was burnt down, the other half of the city was nitzol. And don't think that it was in the schus of Rav. No, it was in the schus of a Fruma doctor who was very nice. He didn't charge too much to the patient. So whoever couldn't afford it, he wouldn't charge any money. And whoever needed help paying for the medication, he would give them the medications or nothing. He would give them money. And he was careful to treat the male patient separately and the female patient separately. Because when you apply the medication or you check them out, so you have to undress them a little bit. So he was careful. Mishum tznius, the women were separate and the men were separate. So in the schus of that doctor, the half of the city was nitzel. So the Maharsha asks in the Chidushi Agoda, Maseches Tainis, why does the Gemara say that it was not in the schus of Rav? Maybe it was in the schus of Rav. Why do they think that it was in the schus of the doctor? So the Sfasema says, no, that's the reason why. Not that they're knocking Rav. They're saying if it would have been the schus of Rav, the whole city would have burnt down. And Rav's house would be the only house that would stand. Because Rav was such an unusual tzaddik, he deserved to have a hatzolah that would be bolet. But if it's in the schus of the doctor he deserved a hatzolah, but he didn't deserve such a hatzolah that it should be bolet. So that's why in the schus of the doctor, half of the city didn't burn down. So it shouldn't be so obvious that it's in his schus. That's what the Sfasama suggests. I remember during the Gulf War, there was a doctor from Florida. Since then, he passed away. He chartered a flight, and the boys and girls from Stern College and from Yeshiva College went there to Israel, a whole plane load full, just to give support to the Jews in Eretz Israel. And the people in Eretz were so appreciative. They felt as if the Jews in America know the secrets, and if we're coming, it means that everything is gone. They're going to be safe. We didn't know any secrets. We didn't know any secrets at all. So I remember, we were there two Shabbosim. So I remember the first Shabbos I was in the Gru Center, and the second Shabbos I was in Kerem Yavne. So in the middle of, so I remember in the Shabbos that we were in the Gru Center, one of the boys that had learned by me in the yeshiva had graduated college, and he went on to go to Eretz to learn in the Miri Yeshiva. So for Shabbos, he came, that Shabbos that we were all there in the Gru Center, he came, instead of staying in the Miri Yeshiva in the dormitory, he came to stay in the Gru Center. So they had him speak in the middle of the meal. So he said, oh, but this Dvar Torah. And then he said, he's afraid to be in the Miri Yeshiva. If I'm not mistaken, I think Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz was still alive at that time. No, I don't remember exactly. So I think he said he's afraid to be in the Miri Yeshiva because Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz is such a tzaddik. The whole building, the whole dormitory will be destroyed with rockets and bombs. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz will be nitzel. But here in the Gru Center, it's only Rabbi Shechter. So in the schus of Rabbi Shechter, will all be nitzel. So that's why he came specially, because of this Sfasemes. He had heard me say this Sfasemes in class, so he applied it to the situation. He's now a practicing rabbi in New Jersey. He gives good drushes. Very good. The Pasuk says, when stone was destroyed, Vashem himter al stone, gofres ve'ish men ha-shamayim. So Rashi quotes on the Medrash, Vashem, why does it say Vashem? Hu u beis dinoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his bez. So the Chido explains, al pi Kabbalah, based on the Pasuk, Enech mipe'elyon lo seitze ha-roes v'ha-toif. So maybe Posh Peshatner Pasuk is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Bechira Chavshis. He doesn't force us to do mitzvahs and he doesn't force us to do averus. The Pe'elion Laseitze HaRuas Vata. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't suspect. He gives everybody Bechira Chavshis. That's what the Rama quotes that Pasuk. So the Kabbalah Svarim, the Midrashim, read the Pasuk, the Pe'elion Laseitze HaRuas. When a Men HaShemayim, something bad has to happen, so it doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished. Who Beis Dinoi? The Bezon Shalmaila did it. When it's a good thing that happens, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. When it's a punishment, so it says the Bezon Shalmaila punished. So that's what it means. Vashem him tehu Beis Dinoi. This was a punishment Men HaShemayim. So it doesn't attribute it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what they quote the Pasuk in Bereishis. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Yom and Laila is dark. It doesn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all the positive things. The negative things, they came about, but the Pasuk will not attribute it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it. The Pasuk has an interesting presentation that when the five cities were going to be destroyed, the Malachim was sent to save Lot. So the Pasuk says, it was only in the schus of Abraham. Lot didn't deserve to be Nitzal. He would have been destroyed also. But the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered Avraham Avinu, and because Lot was a nephew of Avraham Avinu for a period of time, he was under the influence of Avraham Avinu. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Malachim to save Lot. So then you read later, after Sodom and Amor were destroyed, Lot and his two daughters, Manitzel, they went to the cave, to the Ma'ora, and then they thought, the two daughters thought the whole world was destroyed, and the only one who was Nitzel was Lot and the two daughters. And if mankind was all wiped out, they thought Avraham Avinu was dead and the whole world, there's no one alive. They're the only ones in the world. So in order to perpetuate the world, they're going to have to sleep with the father, in order that mankind should continue. So they meant L'shem Shamayim. The Cheshbon was incorrect. The whole world was still standing. Only these four cities, and then Soya was saved. So four out of the five cities were destroyed, and Lot was only Nitzel in the schus of Avraham Avinu. And then the Parsha says that after Avraham Avinu heard what happened, that the two Benos Lot became pregnant from the father, he was dead embarrassed. So he moved to a different location. He was embarrassed. So the rest of the world was standing, but they thought that they were Nitzel in their own schus. A lot of times people make a mistake. I remember once Rav Soloveitchik was always the main speaker at the Chag HaSmicha. Dr. Belkin was not such a good public speaker, so he would speak for 5-10 minutes, and he would say always good ideas, but he wouldn't elaborate on it. He would say Bekitzer, and he would sit down here. Then he would introduce Rabbi Soloveitchik. He would hold a drasha at every Chag HaSmicha, every 2 or 3 years, or every 3-4 years. He would give a major talk over an hour, each time a different theme. So on one occasion, he was speaking a little bit about the rabbi should not, he spoke in Yiddish, said the rabbi should not develop a Messiah complex. They shouldn't think that they're saving the whole world. They're getting people to be chayzer b'tshuva, and therefore a lot of times in NCSY or other Kirov organizations, they think they're saving the whole world, and therefore they can cut corners a little bit. You can make a little bit if the bus is a little late. For Shabbos, they can allow the bus driver to go during Bein HaShemashos and Chutz L'Tchum and whatever. They make a over here, make a over there. They're saving the whole world. Rabbi Soloveitchik told the boys who were getting smicha, they shouldn't have such an attitude. If you get one or two balabatim to be Shomer Shabbos and you send a few boys from out of town to the yeshiva to learn in the yeshiva, that's a gevaldig accomplishment. Don't think that you're going to save the whole world. Do a little hatzolah. And don't think that your accomplishments are so important that the doiche kol haTorah kula. You should be careful. Don't think that you're rativing the whole world. You're not saving the whole world. That was the Benois Light thought that they were saving the whole world, and that was a big mistake. They were rewarded. The Gemara says if a person is a chol sheyesh b'sakon, and the doctors say that he needs a funny case in the Gemara, the doctors say that he needs some fresh fruits plucked off of the tree today, and 10 different people ran to pluck off fruits for the chayla, and then they came back. And then some of them came back, the chayla already recovered. They already gave him the fruits, and they already recovered. But the Gemara says They all did a mitzvah, because since each one was running to do pikuach nefesh, and each one thought that under the circumstances he's accomplishing hatzolus nefashas, so each one did beheter, and each one deserves reward. So that's why the benois loit were rewarded, because they slept with the father. They thought, based on what the information that they had, they thought that they're saving the whole world. And then they had Amun Amayav. So, and then because the Bechora was Magdemus one night earlier than the Tzira, so Shidi Gemara says in Bava Kama, she was rewarded earlier than the Tzira was. Gemara has a whole discussion about that. They do deserve reward because under the circumstances, they thought that they were taka saving the world. But we shouldn't make such a mistake. You have to have the correct perspective. The Malochim, who came in the beginning of the Sedrik, one of them came to notify Sora that she's going to have a baby. And then the Pasuk says the baby was born, and he was the first one to have the bris on the Yom HaShmini. That's what we recite the bracha whenever you have a bris. So you say a bracha after the bris is over. You say bracha shekida she did me beten chok b'sheir osam. Kida she did me beten, that refers to Yitzchak. He was Jewish before he was even born. Avraham Avinu became a Baal Tshuva. He was convinced of monotheism later in life. But the Yitzchak was born Kiddush Yedid Ben Bet before he was born. He was Kodesh Merechem. V'chok B'sher Asam. He was given the mitzvah of Mila. V'tzav Tzav Tzav Vesis B'is Kodesh. Alkei Mitzchav Zal Chalkeinu Tzirene. Tzadu Lahatzu Yedid Asherene Mishachas. The Gemara in Erevin says that Avraham Avinu sits al Pischo Shel Gehenim. And whoever has a bris Mila, even though he's full of Averus, Avraham Avinu doesn't allow them to take him into Gehenim. Because Sof Kol Sof, he has the bris milah. So that's enough of his chus. Unless the person was Baal HaNochris, then it'll happen that he'll be Nimshecha or Lasa. So then Avraham Avinu doesn't recognize him. Lo Mevaskele, he won't recognize him. And then they'll take him into Gehenna. The Medrash, the Yalkut Shemani, quotes that comment that's based on a pasuk in Treyasa. So the Yalkut Shemani quotes that comment on the opening pasuk in Parshas Vayera, as if Avraham Avinu, Hu Yashe Pesach Ol Kechom Hayom, he was sitting. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that Avraham Avinu was like a judge judging. So what was he judging? So the Medrash says he sits al Pischo Shel Gehenem to pasken that none of the Jews that have a bris milah should go to Gehenem. The Medrash somehow sees a connection between that and that. Save all the Jewish people from burning in Gehenim. In the schus of the bris milah. So the Medrash somehow sees that this has a connection with the opening pasuk. What does it have to do with the opening pasuk? So some say, Rashi and Chumash quotes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham Avinu, he's sitting with Hu Yoshev. So Bikish Lamad, he wanted to stand out of respect for the Shekhinah, Kavod HaShekhinah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, Ata Simen LeBanecha, you'll be a Simen for your descendants. Whenever there'll be a Dintar, Elakim Nitzav Badaskel. The Shekhinah will be present, the Shekhinah will be standing, Elakim Nitzav Badaskel means when there's a Dintar, so the Dayanim will be sitting, and the Shekhinah will be standing there to help them to make sure that they don't make a mistake. So somehow the Yalkut Shemayni sees a connection between the two. Avraham Avinu sitting on Pischo Shel Gehenem and saying that people shouldn't go to Gehenem, and the Dayan sitting in judgment, and the Shekhinah is present there. So some suggest the Medrash Yalkut Shemayni doesn't explain what the connection is. So some suggest Igmar has a Lashon, a Dayan who's in it in Torah should have the attitude as if Gehenem psucha lo mitachtov, as if Gehenem is right next to him. And if he doesn't paskin with honesty and integrity, if he doesn't paskin properly, he's going to go into Gehenem. So the same over here, just like Avraham Avinu sits on Pischo Shel Gehenem and he prevents the Malachim from taking anyone who has a bris milah into Gehenem, so too the Dayanim should paskin properly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to protect the Dayanim that they shouldn't make a mistake. that they shouldn't fall into Gehenna. Anyway, the pasuk says that the prophecy that the Malach told Sarah became fulfilled, and a year later, Lamoed Asher Diber El Avram, the year later, that's when Yitzchak was born, and he had the bris milah on the eighth day, Kashatziba Oso Elokim. So the Gemara has a comment in the end of the first parak in Kiddushin, Kashatziba Oso, Oso Velo Oso, that only the father is obligated to see to it that the son has a bris milah. The mother is not mechuyev to take care of the milah on the baby. So Tosfos there in Kiddushin has a famous kasha. Why do you need a pasuk to say that the mother is not obligated to take care of the bris of a baby boy? We know the klal is, it's a general klal, the women are exempt from all the mitzvahs aseh shazman grama. They're exempt from the mitzvah of tzitzis and tefillin and shayfer and lulav and sukkah. These are all mitzvahs aseh shazman grama. So Tosfos is bothered with a kasha. The bris milah can only be done by yom. It can't be done by laila. So isn't the mitzvah bris milah, mitzvah sasesha as magrama? You can only fulfill a mitzvah 12 hours in a day. You can't fulfill it all day long. So women should be potter without a gnu gzeres akosav, kashatziba oso alakim, oso velo oso. They should be potter because it's a mitzvah sasesha as magrama. The Tosfos answers, en achinami, that the way we paskal aloch, it is a mitzvah sasesha as magrama. But in the days of the Tanaim, there was an opinion that the milah bizmana, if you do it on the eighth day, you can't do it the night before because it's not yet bizman. You have to wait till the eighth day in the daytime. But once the baby is already 8 days old, then it's a milah shel after. If the bris wasn't done on the yom hashmini, that it can be done by yom or balayla. If it's a milah shel bizmana, then you don't need bayom. Only if it's bizmana, you shouldn't do the bris milah the night of the eighth day. You should have to wait till the daytime of the eighth day. But once you already waited, and then you're going to do it the night following the eighth day or the following the ninth day, then it's bayomu balayla, so it's no longer as magram. So that's what Tosfos said, that the need for this drasha from the pasuk oso, velo oso, is only if you hold like that tana. In taka halacha lemaisa, we don't paskin like that tana. We paskin, you're never allowed to do a mila balayla, even mila shaloi bismano, so you taka don't need that pasuk. So other rishonim give other answers, and Achrayim give answers. So the Shagasari gives an answer. Absolovechik said it over a little differently from the way the Shagasari said it. But he says he attributed it to the Shagasari. He was the Surah to give this pshat when he was looking in the Shagasari. So the Shagasari says, when is it called a mitzvah saseh shahaz magrama? Let's say tzitzis. It's only by yom, not by laila. So tomorrow there's a mitzvah tzitzis that didn't exist by laila. Every day there's a mitzvah tzitzis. Every day there's a mitzvah of tefillin. Mitzvah tefillin is only by yom and not by laila. So that's a mitzvah saseh shahaz magrama. Thursday's mitzvah tefillin is a different mitzvah, not the same as Wednesday, not the same as Tuesday. Every day there's another mitzvah. But if you have a mitzvah that doesn't apply by laila, you can't perform the bris milah by laila. But then when it comes the next morning, the same mitzvah from yesterday comes back again. It's a hemshecha, the same mitzvah. It's not that it's a new mitzvah today. So that's not called as magrama. What does that mean? So Rav Soloveitchik said, when he said over the Shagasari, he said what he meant to say was, he would formulate it like this. If the chiyuv is magrama, but if the chiyuv is bayoma balayla, just that the zman hakiyum is restricted, you can only be mekayim the mitzvah bayom. You can't be mekayim. If you do the bris milah balayla, it's possible. So the key, the zman grama, the zman is gorim, mitzvah saseh shazman grama means man is mechayiv. Like when it comes Rosh Hashanah, you mechayiv to blow shofar. When it comes Sukkot, you mechayiv to shake a lulav. When it comes Thursday morning, you mechayiv to lek tefillin. When it comes Friday morning, you mechayiv to lek tefillin again. Every day is mechayiv you again. But if you have the mitzvah of milah, once the baby's 8 days old, there is a mitzvah milah by yom or balayla. The chiyuv is still there by Laila, but Laila is not the zman of the chiyuv mitzvah. Laila is only the zman of the chiyuv mitzvah. So that's called mitzvah saseh shaloi hazman grama. Zman is gorem the chiyuv. Then it's called the zman grama. He gave the moshe, let's say, the korban pesach, whoever, kol oral le'echol, but whoever is an oral, not allowed to eat korban pesach. But you eat the korban pesach balayla. Rachlus habasa balayla hazeh, you eat it balayla, you're not mechayiv to do the bris milah. So what's wrong? So if there's no chiyuv at night, so he shouldn't have a din of an oral. So you see that there is a chiyuv balayla, just that laila is not the zman of the kiyuv mitzvah. That's how Rav Soloveitchik worded it. Parshas Vayera is famous, of course, for the Akedah, the end, towards the end of the Sedra, and the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Lissop, Asara Maris Neber Ha'olam, 10 generations from Adam Rishon to Noach, generation from Noach to Avram Avinu. Then it says, Basar Nisyanis, since Nasa Avram Avinu, Ve'amad Bekulam. Avram Avinu was given 10 Nisyanis, and he passed with flying colors all of the 10 Nisyanis. And the Medrash Rabbah says that, of course, the most difficult of the Asar Nisyanis was the Akedah. He's called upon to shecht his own son. That was the most difficult, and he succeeded. He passed the Nisoyan. The Ran has a collection of drushes Haran. They assume that it's by the same Ran who wrote on the Rif, same one who wrote the Chidush Haran. Not all the Chidush Harans are by the Ran. Chidush Haran on Sanhedrin, they say, is not by the Ran because he quotes the Meiri. He quotes other Rishonim. It's by somebody else. Chidush Haran on Masechah Shabbos is also by, it's not the Ran. But the Ran is the same author of the drushes around. So the Ran has a famous comment: Kachnas binchas chitcha ein no elalosh and bakoshen. That the Rebbeinu Shalom tells Avram Avinu, "Could you do me a favor? I'm not commanding you to do this. If you don't want to, if it's too difficult, don't do it. But you would make me very happy if you bring your son as a korban. Kachnas binchas chitcha." If it's too much, don't do it. But I'm asking you as a taiva, it would please me very much if you bring your son as the korban. Wow! So that makes the nisayon even more difficult. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands you to bring your son you must bring your son as a korban. That's difficult as it is. But he says, I'm not commanding you. If it's too difficult, don't do it. But it would please me very much if you would do it. That's quite a nisayon. That's how the Ran interprets the pshat and the pasuk. The Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim something very interesting. The Chazal drew a distinction between Moshe Rabbeinu and the other Nevim. That Moshe Rabbeinu was Nisnabe Baspekloria HaMe'ira, and all the other Nevim only had Aspekloria She'ena Me'ira. So what does it mean? That Moshe Rabbeinu had a clear Nevuah, and all the others, the Nevuah was unclear. So he says, how can that be? Avram Avinu had an unclear nevuah, and he's prepared to shecht his son based on an unclear nevuah. So he says, no, the Torah records this story of the Nisoyan of the Akedah. We should realize that the nevuahs were crystal clear to the Nevi'im. They all understood everything, not just Moshe Rabbeinu. All of the Nevi'im understood very clearly what the nevuah was. Otherwise, Avram Avinu wouldn't be prepared to bring his son on the Akedah. What does it mean that only Moshe Rabbeinu had Aspekloria HaMira, the others had Aspekloria She'ena Mira? So that's what the Kabbalah Svarim explained, that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was osios and nekudas. He was given direct dictation, word for word and letter for letter. As opposed to the other Nevi'im, they had a chalom and a chazon and a mara hanavuah. They saw a vision in a trance, in a sleep, they would see a vision. Then they would interpret the vision using their own words. And then they would interpret what the mara hanavuah is supposed to represent. What is the nevuah telling them? But either way, whether it's Moshe Rabbeinu, where it's Osiris and Akudis, or it's the other Nevi'im, where they saw a mara hanavuah chazon, they understood clearly what it was. So the question is, what do you mean they understood clearly? But he didn't understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al tishlach yarchal ha-mataslam yuma, don't shech them. So, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Halev sham li'ol. So he said, no, ask kasei achsei. I told you, Halev sham li'ol, bring him up to the top of the mountain and now take him down. So it comes out, Avraham Avinu misunderstood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Halei Eliyahu just means bring him up to the top of the mountain. He never told them to bring him as a korban oila. So he misunderstood the whole nevuah. So how can that be? The Rambam says the reason why this is written in the Chumash is that we should realize that all of the Nevi'im had crystal clear every nevuah. Otherwise, Avraham Avinu wouldn't be prepared to shecht his son, but he misunderstood. So it's Yadua B'Shem Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. He gave pshat over here that HaKadosh Baruch instructed Avram Avinu to be Magdish and take him to Hara Maria, top of the mountain. Bahalei Hashem Liyada means be Magdish him as a Korban Oilo. If you're Magdish as a Korban Oilo, so let's say you have, there's a Mishnah in Shkolim. If you have an animal roaming around in Yerushalayim and it has a tag on it, that this is a Korban, you don't know what Korban it is, so you assume that it's probably a Korban Oilo. You don't know who the owner is, but you're Makar of the Korban Oilo on the Beis HaMikdash. So here, Avraham Avinu understood very clearly he should be Magdish his son as a Korban Oilo, and then he understood on his own, what do you do if you have a Korban Oilo roaming around? You have to be Makar of it on the Mizbech. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was he understood on his own. That is the din, usually, normally, Ruba de Ruba of the case. And when you have a Korban Oilo, you're Makar. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al tashil chalana v'atas l'mayimma, don't shecht him. And then he sees, Ayalacha nachas basvach bekarnot. So Avraham Avinu takes the aisle. He's makriv that. So the Midrashim say that when he shechted the aisle, this was considered as if he had done the shechita to Yitzchak. And when he burned the aisle, it was an oilo. He burned the whole aisle. When he burned the aisle on the Mizbeach, on the Hara Maria, it was considered as if he had burnt Yitzchak. That's what the Chazal comment on the pasuk at the end of the Teichach in B'chukosai, where the pasuk reads, "Zachar to Espisi Yaakov, after Espisi Yitzchak, after Espisi Avraham Ezekor, v'ha'oretz Ezekor." So the verb Zechira appears by Avraham and by Yaakov, and does not appear by Yitzchak. "Zachar to Espisi Yaakov, after Espisi Yitzchak," it means I will remember. "After Espisi Avraham Ezekor, v'ha'oretz Ezekor." So the verb Zechira says by Avraham and by Yaakov. Behoritz Eskar doesn't say Zechira by Yitzchak. How come? Zechira means I remember someone saw me a year ago. I remember someone. I saw somebody yesterday. I remember him today. He's not here. But if the person is in front of me, under my eyes, you don't say I remember him. You say I see him. So that's what the Medrash has a famous comment. It doesn't say Zechira by Yitzchak because Afra Tzavur Amunach Agabi HaMizbeach. Since Yitzchak was burnt at the Akedah, so the ashes of Yitzchak are there sitting on the Mizbeach in heaven, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees Yitzchak all the time. So he doesn't have to remember him. He doesn't say Avram, and he doesn't say Yaakov. So he says, Zachati is Bisi Yaakov, Afras. Bisi Yaakov, Ms. Avram Eskar. But by Yitzchak, the verb Zachira doesn't appear because you don't need Zachira. Afrat Sovra Munach HaGamiz. What do you mean? The Efer that Sovra Murach HaGamizbech is the Efer, the ashes from the Ayel Achar that was Nechaz Basvach Bekan. So the answer is, the shechting of the Ayel was considered as if he had shechted Yitzchak, and the burning of the Ayel was considered as if he had burnt Yitzchak. So the Afer Shal Yitzchak at Sovra Murach HaGabi HaMizbech also, Rashi on Chumash, and next week Sedra comments, Rashi, most of the Rashis are quoting from Medrash Rabbah. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah. It says, there was a famine in the days of Yitzchak, just like there was a famine in the days of Avraham Avinu. And Yitzchak Avinu follows always Masorah. He follows all the traditions from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a big pioneer. He came up with a lot of chidushim. And if he's going to have a son, he's going to be also a big pioneer, a big mechadish. All of the chidushim of Avraham Avinu will be lost. So if someone is a very original thinker, you need that his children, the next generation, to just be followers. They should be able to say over. If they can also be original, so all the originality of the original Talmud Chacham is going to be lost, going to go down the drain. So Yitzchak follows all the traditions from Avraham Avinu. So in the days of Avraham Avinu, it says, Vayira Boretz, Vayira Avraham Mitzrayim, Logashan Pnei Harav, he went to Mitzrayim. So when there was a famine, this is in addition to the famine that was in the days of Avraham Avinu. So Yerid Yitzchak, Avimelech Melech Plishtim Geror. Why did Yitzchak go to Geror? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah, he was on his way to go down to Mitzrayim. He followed everything that his father Avraham Avinu did. So just like Avraham Avinu was going to go down to Mitzrayim, Yitzchak was going to go down also to Mitzrayim. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, if you'll go to Mitzrayim, this will not be following in the tradition, the Masorah of Avraham Avinu. This will be against the tradition because circumstances are different. Your father, Avraham Avinu, was not a Korban Oilo. So he could go to Chutz Lartz. He won't be Nipsal B'Yotze. But you are Hugdash as a Korban Oilo. So if you'll go to Chutz La'aretz, that'll be Chutz L'makom. Every carbon has a makom. So if it's kochim kochim, the makom is more restricted. Makom is the azara. So if you take it Chutz La'azara, it'll be nipsal b'yotze. If it's kochim kalim, the makom is all of Yerushalayim. So if you take it Chutz L'Yerushalayim, it'll be nipsal b'yotze. In the days of Avram Avinu, the makom of Hakrovas HaKarbonis was Eretz Yisrael. That's the opening comment in the Mechilta. The first comment in the Mechilta says, Achala Nivchara Haoretz, before Eretz Yisrael was chosen, the whole world was kosher for Hakrovas Karbonis. Misha Nivchara Eretz Yisrael, it can only be Makro Karbonis and Eretz Yisrael. When there was a Het HaBomis, Bizman Nova Givon, there was a Het HaBomis. Bizman Shila, there was an Isav Bamas, but Bizman Nova Given, there was a Het HaBomis. It was only in Eretz Yisrael. You weren't allowed to make a Bama in Chutz La'aretz. So if you'll have a Yitzchak was Hugdash as a carbon oiler, if he'll go to Chutz La'aretz, it'll be Nifsal B'yotze. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yitzchak. No, if you'll go to Chutz La'aretz, you won't be following in the tradition of Avraham Avinu. You'll be violating because it's a different world that you live in. Avraham Avinu was not a carbon, but you were Hugdash as a carbon. You're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. But the din is a carbon is only Nifsal B'yotze after Shechita. Before the first Avodah, true, the carbon has Kedusha Guf L'Mizbeach, but it can't become, it doesn't have Kedusha's carbon yet until you do the first Avodah. The same thing a carbon Mincha. Menachas and Esachim, when you magdish a bottle of wine or you magdish flour to bring as a carbon on the Mizbeach, so when you magdish it Kedusha's Peh, it only has Kedusha's Domim L'Mizbeach. It doesn't get the Kedusha Guf L'Mizbeach until you put it Kiddush Keli. Till you put the yayin or the solus in a klisharis. But even after it gets kiddush kli, it cannot be nifsal b'yotze until after avodah rishayna, until you first do the kmitza. The kmitza by mincha, there are dalar avodahs that are parallel to the dalar avodahs hadam. The first avodah that you do by a carbon, the first of the dalar avodahs hadam is the shechita, to be mevarech eloh kavoya, to separate the dam that you're going to be zorek on the mizbeach. The nature of the mitzvah, the avoida of shechita that you do in karbonis is not how to kill the animal. That shechita's chulin is the proper way to kill the animal. But shechita's kochim is to be mevarech eloh gavoya, to separate the dam that you're going to be zorek on the mizbeach from the rest of the animal. So that's what kmitza is parallel. Kmitza and the karbon mincha, you're mevarech eloh gavoya. You're going to be makta the koimetz al gabi hamizbeach, and then the shiori hamincha is going to be nechal to the zichrei kohuna. In the Azara, it's Kochi Kochim. So the din is that a korban becomes nifsal b'yotze only after shechita, and just like the mincha only becomes the Tosfos points this out. Every 15th blot in Zvachim Menachos, Tosfos repeats this again, that the mincha only becomes nifsal b'yotze not after kiddush kli gets a kedusha aguf l'mizbeach. But it'll only be nifsal b'yotze after Avodah Rishayna, after you do the kmitza. So what do you mean that Yitzchak will go to Mitzrayim, he'll be nifsal b'yotze, but the korban only become nifsal b'yotze after shechita? So the answer is that's correct. The shechita that Avraham Avinu did to the isle was considered as if the shechita was chal on Yitzchak as well, just like the haktorah that was done to the isle was considered as if it was done to Yitzchak. That's why the Medrash comments Afrod Savra Munach Agabi Hamizbech, that the verb Zechira doesn't appear in that pasuk. It's Ratis Bisi Yaakov, Rafis Bisi Yitzchak. It doesn't say Eskar. It's understood Eskar. It doesn't say because you don't need Zechira because Afrod Savra Munach Agabi Hamizbech. So that's what Rab Chaim explained, that not that Avraham Avinu misunderstood the Nevuah. No, Taka was clear. It was clear Halei Hashem Le'Oila, you should be Magdish his son as a korban oila. But then Avraham Avinu was prepared to be makriv him, because that's the next step that he understood on his own. Whenever you have a korban oila, it's a mitzvah to be makriv it on the mizbech. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the malach and he says, Avraham, v'yam hineni, al tishal hiyodcha lanar, al taslam yuma. Don't shecht him. This is different. Do the shechita on ayal achanechas basrach bekarnav. Do the avodas on the ayal and it'll be considered as if all the avodas were done to Yitzchak. Yeah, Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Medrash that Avraham Avinu, after the whole Akedah was all over, Avraham Avinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand. First, he told me, "Kid Yitzchak, he koyel chazera." He told me that don't worry that you have no children. No, forget about Yishmael. Listen to Sarah. Send away Yishmael with Hagar. Yitzchak is going to be Zer Avram. And then you tell me, bring him as a carbon. It's a contradiction. And then you tell me, so Avram Avinu didn't ask the kasha when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, bring your son as a carbon oil. He waits till after the whole story is all over, after the whole Akedah is all over, then he asks. Everything contradicts. The second prophecy contradicts the first one. When you told him, Haleo Shamilola, that contradicts Kibi Yitzchak Kor L'Chazera. Then the third prophecy, Abtishal Kyor Chalanar, contradicts the second. So Avram Avinu doesn't ask it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Haleo Shamilola, he goes ahead and he does it. He's prepared to shecht them, even though it doesn't make any sense. If it's clear to the Navi, if it's clear what the din is, you have to do the mitzvah, even if it doesn't make any sense. And then after, that's how they quote B'Shem Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, Shnei Sugma Makrish Mezeza, Shavakos Vashlishi, Yachriya Beinem, you have no right to ask Kashas on the Chumash. If you have Shnei Sugma Makrish, you have no right to ask Kakasha. Over here, the din is like this. When you have a third pasuk that seems to explain the discrepancy, how come over there is like this and over there is like that, then that's one of the Midrash HaTorah Nedreshes. When you have a hunch that you have a kosov ha-shlishi, she'achriyeh b'nem, then you have a right to ask the stira. So Avraham Avinu didn't ask the kasha until the third tzibui came, until after the Malach told him, Atush al-Yorchal anar. So then he asked HaKadosh Baruch, I don't understand. The second tzibui contradicts the first, and the third contradicts the second. So HaKadosh Baruch explained, no, the second tzibui was kach nesbincha aleh shem li'ola, to be magnishim as a korban oila. I never said to be makrif him. In this case, the hakrova, the avoid, is done to the aisle, were considered as if they were done to Yitzchak. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, you find this by Yirmiyahu HaNavi also. He's told b'nevuah that his cousin who lives in the city Anasos, Hanamel ben Dodi, his cousin is going to come, and Horetz Nitna b'yad HaKazdim, the Babylonian armies are about to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. All of real estate is worthless, because the whole country is going to be taken over by the Babylonian armies. And his cousin, who lives in Anasos, is in need of money. So he's going to come, the cousin is going to come to Yirmiyah to try to ask him to buy his farm, his field, which is worthless. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyahu Navi, when your cousin comes, make sure you pay him the full amount of money. Make sure you write two shtaris, a sefer golo and a sefer chosum. That's a shtar, a get poshut and a get mokusha. Get Pasha means a shtar where everything is written on one side of the page and signed on the bottom. And get Mekusha, they write a few lines, they sew it up. Then you have one signature on the back. Then they write another line or two, a few lines, and they sew it up. Then they have a second signature on the back. Then they write another couple of lines, they sew it up. Then they have a third signature on the back. You have to have a minimum of three signatures. So it didn't make sense. Hortz Nitnam the Arakazdim, the Babylonian armies were about to take over, conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, and the real estate was worthless. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu instruct Yirmiyahu HaNavi he should buy the farm? Didn't make any sense. He goes and he buys the farm. And then he tells him, you should have two shtaris. What's it going to help, the two shtaris? The Babylonian armies are going to send everybody into Golas Bavel. The farm is going to be worthless. So after Yirmiyahu HaNavi does everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs him, then he prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he asks him, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know everything that's happening in the world. You understand everything. I don't understand. I did what you told me to do, but it doesn't make any sense. Why did you tell me to pay so much money for this field and Anasos if it's worthless? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, this is a similar B'nai Yisrael, that the Golas Bavel is only going to be for a short period of time, only for 70 years. And after the Golas Bavel is over, you're going to come back. And you hold on, and put the two shtoris, to get poshut and to get kankusher, take the two documents and put them away in a jug that it should last for a long time, because after 70 years, your descendants will come back to Eretz Yisrael, and they'll be able to claim that karka belongs to them. So this is a similar vanecha. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that that's the way that tzaddikim act when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a tzivui and it's clear what he wants, even though it absolutely doesn't make any sense in your mind. You have to do the mitzvah. You shouldn't ask kashas in advance. After you do the mitzvah, then you have a right to ask, why, what is this all about? Why did I do this? That's how the Meiri interprets the pasuk. The Meiri, I think it's a Meiri on Mishlei, interprets the pasuk in Tilim. Tuv tam adas labdeni, so he says the word ki means despite the fact. Tuv tamidas lamdeni, Rabbanu Shel Olam, please explain to me what the mitzvah is all about. Ki, despite the fact. Pi sometimes means because, sometimes means this, the opposite. Despite the fact, ki mitzvah secha hamanti, I believe in the mitzvahs, I'm doing them anyway, but please explain to me so I know what I'm doing. I don't understand the mitzvahs. So that's what Avraham Avinu did. He only raised the issue after the Malach gave the third instruction. So he thought maybe there's a kosov ashlishi shakriya b'nei. That's what they say. A misnagid, a chosid once asked Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, what's with you litvakas? You're always asking kashas on the Gemara. What are you asking so many kashas? The Gemara said this is a din. Sure, that's the din. So Rav Chaim said he only asks the kasha when he thinks he has an answer. When he seems to have a light at the end of the tunnel, when he sees that there's a kosov ashlishi shechriyat b'neim, then he'll ask a steer between two gemaras and he'll give a teretz. But to ask a kasha and to blight by kasha, that taki, you're right. That's not right. You're not supposed to ask kasha just like that. When Avraham Avinu was on his way to the Akedah, so it says, Vayaris hamokam erachoik, he saw from a distance. So the Medrash has a famous comment. He saw Onan Kosher al Hahor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Lech lech l'eretz hamorei v'alei shem l'alach harim sha'omer ha'elecho. I will indicate to you which mountain to bring him up as a korban oilam. Where you should go. So Avraham Avinu, when he's going, sees Onan Kosher al Hahor. So then he asks, Shnei Niyor v'imo, he asks the two Avonim who are with him, what do you see? They say they see a mountain from a distance. What do you see? Anything special? Nothing special. They weren't able to detect the ruchnias. Onan kosher alahor means that that's Har Maria. That's a special place that has a lot of ruchnias there. They couldn't see that. They can only see the gashmias of the mountain. So that's why Avraham Avinu says, Shvulachan paim achamor, yirad amadayim alachamor. Just like the chamor is not able to discern in yoni ruchnias, so the Eved also isn't able to realize that. But when he asked Yitzchak, Yitzchak said, yeah, he sees Onan Kosher Alahor. He sees that that mountain is invested with some degree of ruchnias over there. So this comment that the Eved is Amadayim Melech Hamor, that's why he said Shvulachan Poyim Hamor. The Gemara quotes it in two different places to indicate two different dinim. There's one din that an Eved is not related to his own children. Let's say a Nochri had children, Benochri Yuso, and then he converts. So that's a machleg zabiach and reish lokish. Is a yotze the mitzvah pir verivya with the children that he had benachri yusa. So we pass like Rabbi Yechanan that he is yotze. That's the Gemara in the end of Pcheres, and it's a Gemara in the end of Perak Aboya Vimta in the sugya of pir verivya. But then the Gemara said this they all agree. Even Rabbi Yechanan agrees to reish lokish on this. If an Eved Knaini had children while he was an Eved Knaini, and then later on he's Nishtachrer, so it is not Yotze Pir B'Rivya with the children that he had, because Eved is Amadom al Hamor, that there's no Eved ain't lo Yachas, just like the Hamor has no Yachas, so the Eved has no Yachas. So from day number one, when Eved Knaini had the children, they weren't related to him. Biologically, they were related, but Al Pidin, they weren't considered his children at all. So therefore, even if later on he's Nishtachrer, and he becomes obligated to observe the mitzvah. Biru Ribi is not yotze with the children that he had. He also Eved because Amadam al Hamar Zain lo Yachas. So that's one Gemara. Eved ain't lo Yachas. And the Gemara says Eved muta be'ima muta be'bito. So the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara, not all the Rishonim learn like that. The Minchas Chinam points out the Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. So here for the Rishonim learn, the Eved Kanani is permitted to live with his mother, permitted to live with his daughter. Not only does he not have the kurva of mishpacha sav, he doesn't even have the kurva of sher basar. So he's muta b'ima, muta b'bito. Other Rishonim say, no, muta b'ima, muta b'bito is only because gershon is garka kutin shenala dami. Not kol zman that he's still an Eved. He was an Eved, then he was Nishtachrer. So when the Eved is Nishtachrer, then I say, let's gershon his gar kukot and shenol dummy. So, but the, usually the gzer midrabanon, that a ger is not allowed to marry his mother, not allowed to marry his daughter, midrabanon, even though Menatari say kukot and shenol dummy, here, but the Eved Knani, they never made a gzer midrabanon. But it's mutabim or mutabibito only when he's Nishtachrer, because then you say kukot and shenol dummy. But if he was born Dori Doris, he was born as an Eben and he has a daughter and he has a mother, then he's not Mutabim and Mutabibita. That's a machlokes. But Al Kopan and the Gemara, Eved ain't lo yachas. The Eved doesn't have Yuchsin. He's not related to his relatives Al Pidin. Biologically, they're related, but Al Pidin are not considered Kroyim. And then there's another Gemara that says, if an Eved is Mekadosh and Isha, ain't Kiddush and Tobson because Amadar Melech Hamor. Just like Achamor is ain't Kiddush and Tobson, so we hear also not. So there's a Tosfos in middle of Gittin around Daf Mem Gimel also, where Tosfos has a difficult Gemara. So Tosfos explains that these two are interconnected. These two are interconnected. That the reason why the Eved doesn't have Tvisas Kiddushim because Eved ain't lo yachas, so that's why he can't be married to his wife. It's the same din. Just like Eved ain't lo yachas, it's kiddushin and not tofsin, the odo Eved, because to be related to your wife is also an inyan of yichas. So he doesn't have any korban. So Tosfos shows an afkamin al halacha based on that, that the Gemara seems to assume that the two are connected. But these are both learned out from this same pasuk, shvulach and machamor, amadam lachamor. The number one, Chamor ain lo yachas, so the Eved doesn't have yachas to his blood relatives. And number two, that a Chamor doesn't have Tvisas Kiddushin, so the Eved Knani doesn't have Tvisas Kiddushin. In the Haftorah, Parshas Vayera, Haftorah Parshas Vayera starts off with the Ishachas Menashe Hanavim, a husband died. And the Medrash says that it was Esha Soivadya. Avadya Hanavi used to borrow money and under the time that Yerovam ben Nevat was the Melech, they would kill all of the Nevim. So he was hiding all the Nevim in a cave. And he had borrowed money to feed the Nevim. And he died. So Esha Sovadya comes to Elisha Anavi, and she says, my husband, you know my husband, he was a Navi, he was a big tzaddik, I have no money to pay, what kind of business is that? So Tosu says that at that time, because Yerovam ben Nevat was an Ovid Ovid Azara, so he used to be done B'dinei B'nei Noach. If a person owes money, there's no debtor's prison, and you have no right to sell a loiva as an eved. If a person is a ganef, there's a dim in imka big nevasa. If he stole a fortune of money, and if you'll sell him for 6 years, he'll be able to pay the money, so then it's okay. If 6 years is too much, you have no right to sell him. If 6 years is, he only stole so much, you can't sell him for 3 years. If you have to sell him for 6 years, or not at all. So the Mechilta has a drush on the pasuk. If a person owes money because he borrowed or because he bought merchandise and he never paid, you have the right to sell him as an eved ivri. Over here, it says, he followed the dine b'nei noach, that not only can you sell the person here, he borrowed money and he used to buy food to supply the Nevi'im who were hiding in the cave with food to eat. So not only by the goyim would they sell the person who borrowed the money, sell him as a slave. They would sell his children also as a slave. So that's what she's crying to Elisha Hanavi. So Elisha accomplishes a miracle. He tells her she should borrow kelim from all her neighbors. Kelim reikim, empty kelim. He asked the Maya Shloch Babai. So she says she has a little container of oil. So a miracle occurred. And she borrowed all the kelim, all the empty kelim that she possibly could from all of the neighbors, and she kept on pouring from the container that she had in her home, and the shemen kept on pouring. So that was a miracle. And then when there were no more kelim, then the miracle stopped. So the Zohar has a comment that Taz and Hilchos Chanukah quotes this line from the Zohar. We have a minig based on this. When you recite Birchas Hamazon, Yeska Kodesh Boch, Elkeinu, Re'enu, Zuneinu, Parnaseinu, Chalkaleinu, give us food in the future. So the minig is that when you recite Birchas Hamazon, you leave a little bread on the table. Why? If you don't have any bread at all, the bracha is, that's the Loshon of the bracha is not chal, aposora rekanya, on an empty table, the bracha is not chal. So if you have a little bit of oil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make a miracle, yesh meyesh, will make the little bit of oil become a lot of oil. But if you have no oil at all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to have Elisha Navi snap his fingers and it's going to be yesh meyesh and oil is going to come. So that's the same, the meaning is, if you have a little, you leave over a little bread on the table, when you bench, because in the benching, we're going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Re'enu zuneinu parnaseinu, please continue to give us food. So if you have a little food, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can see to it that it'll become more food. And that's what the Mefarshim say. That's why we say in Moos Tzur, Minosa kan kanim nasa neis l'shoshanim. There was a little bit of oil left. So therefore, nasa neis l'shoshanim, the Kohanim had the nes of the Pach Hashem. And if there wouldn't have been any oil left in the Beis HaMikdash, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't going to make a miracle to create something yesh meyayin. That's sheishes mei breishes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made things yesh meyayin. Ova yam shvi shavas vayinafash. And after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make any more yesh meyayin. So he's not going to create yesh meyayin. So that's the famous passage, the comment of the Zohar on the Pasuk, that why Elisha asked Mayashlach Babais, what do you have? She says, Osuch Shaman, a little container of oil. That's why it was possible to make the miracle. Then the Pasuk tells about the Isha Shunamis, who made Aliyah's Kir. She made a separate room for Elisha Novi. Whenever he comes to town, he should stay there. She was Machnes Orchim. Mita V'shulchim Menorah V'chisei. A whole apartment for Elisha Hanavi. And then he gave her a bracha that he found out she didn't have any children. He gave her a bracha. And then the baby died from a sunstroke. And then Elisha Hanavi accomplished the Tchias HaMeis. So she didn't want to tell her husband that the baby died, but she said she wants to go to visit Elisha Hanavi. So he said, why do you want to go? L'chodesh ayom lo Shabbos. Today is neither Rosh Chodesh nor Shabbos. So she said, shalom. She didn't want to say why. She didn't want to tell him that the baby died. So she, what does mean l'chodesh ayom v'lo Shabbos? So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah chayav adam l'hakbal penei rabbi beregel yimchuyev to visit the Rebbe on Shalosh v'golim, as it says in the pasuk l'chodesh ayom v'lo Shabbos. So where does it say a word about the regel? It says l'chodesh ayom v'lo Shabbos. So the quote from the Vilna Gaon, there's a sefer Maisa Rav written, have a different hanhogas of the Gro. Then have the Maisa Rabba Chodesh from another manuscript from someone else. There's a little overlap. There's no contradiction, a little overlap. And then they have other things there in the Maisa Rabba Chodesh. It was printed about 60 years ago, I think, by Moshe Sternbach. I think he himself is a descendant of the Gro. So he was interested in printing this Maisa Rabba Chodesh. So they quote there from the Vilna Gaon, that the pasuk says at the end of Yeshayah, "Vahim echad ha'yom idechadish bechadshoy, v'day Shabbos b'Shabbatay yavol kol basan l'shtachvos lefanai l'yom Hashem." That's how Sefer Yeshayah ends off. So there's the Yalkut Shemani on that pasuk that all the years of the Golus, the Jewish people are crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yomim Tovim. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash. We don't have the ability to be Oyler Regal. And we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll be able to fill the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Bnei Yisrael, Kindalach, you feel bad that you weren't able all these years, 2,000 years, we weren't able to fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. When the Beis HaMikdash will be built, you'll be able to make up for missing opportunities. Not only will it be able to be Oyle Regal on Sholosh Regalim, they'll be able to be Oyle Regal on Rosh Chodoshim as well. So that's why it says, V'ayom yidechodesh b'chodesh b'nei Shabbos b'shabbato, yavol kol bosodosh tachvulos lefana and yom Hashem. What does it mean? Yidechodesh b'chodeshoy, every Rosh Chodesh b'nei Shabbos b'shabbato. Shabbos does mean Shabbos. Shabbos means Regalim, Sholosh Regalim. So the same over here, the Vilna Gaon says, the chiyuv chayvodam lahakpal pnei rabba beregel is based on the din of Aliyah LeRegel, was mechuyev to visit the Shechina on Shalosh HaGolim, and there's an inyan to visit the Shechina on Rosh Chodesh as well. It does mean that Lasi Lava, the Rabban Shalom, is going to change the dinim. The Rambam has one of the Yud Gimali Kori Hamun, is Asatar Lasi Mochlefes, the laws of the Torah never change. So how can the Alkut Shemoni interpret that pasuk, the last pasuk there in Sefer Yeshaya, that Lasi Lava, Kadosh Baruch Hu, would tell the Jewish people, you feel bad, and you weren't able to fulfill Aliyah LeRegel all those generations. I'll tell you what, when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, the third Beis HaMikdash, come visit on Rosh HaChodesh. What do you mean it's going to be a new mitzvah? The answer is no. Apparently, there was always such a mitzvah. There was such a mitzvah, Sarashus. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon. There's a concept of mitzvah, Sarashus. You're not mechuyev to do it, but if you do it, you have a mitzvah kiyumis. So the chiyuv aliyah leregel on Shalosh HaGolim, that's a real chiyuv, that's an obligation. The inyan of aliyah leregel on Rosh HaChadoshim, that's a mitzvah sarishus, apparently. It always was such a thing. It always was like that. But lasidlava, the Jewish people will feel bad that we didn't do aliyah leregel so many generations. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, so seize the opportunity and come on every Rosh Chodesh, come aliyah leregel every Rosh Chodesh. I think the Maharsha has a comment on the Gemara in Bob Metzia around Pei or so. The Gemara says that the Eliyahu Navi always used to come to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's yeshiva. And then one day he came late, and they asked him how come he came late. So he says, today is Rosh Chodesh, and every Rosh Chodesh he goes to the Maris HaMachpelah, and he wakes up Avraham Avinu, he washes the Tilus Yadayim, washes Negel Vasa, and he davens with him, and then he tucks him back in to go back to sleep. Then he wakes up Yitzchak Avinu, he washes his hands, and he davens with him. Then he wakes up Yaakov Avinu, washes his hands, davens with him, puts him back to sleep. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi asks Eliyahu Navi. So that's why he came late today, because he had to wake up Avram and then Yisrael. Yeah. So why don't you wake them all up at the same time? And daven once with all three. Why do you have to do everything? It takes three times as long. Daven them all together. So he says, Min Hashamayim, they don't allow him to. If all the three of us will daven together, then they'll force HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And Baruch Shalom is not prepared to do that yet. So he has instructions. He has to wake up each one of the others separately. So the tefillah is not together. So the Maharsha has a comment on that. The pasuk says in the end of Yeshayahu, "V'hoyam midei chodesh b'chodshoy, midei shabbos b'shabbatoy." Yavol kol basar. What do you mean kol basar? Both the living and the dead. We know that there's an inyan of aliyah leregel for the living people. They come, the mechuyev to come on Shalosh HaGolim, and maybe there's a mitzvah sochus to come on Rosh HaChodeshim as well. Here the pasuk says, "Yavol kol basar," even the dead people. Even Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov are buried, they also come to be, they come to be Oyla Regal, on Rosh HaChodeshim. Eliyahu Navi comes, and he wakes them up, and he has them daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Nei Bihuda has such a tshuva. He said, "B'zman she'Beis HaMikdash Hayah Kayem, and it was possible to fulfill a mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel, then there's a real chiyuv of Chayav Adam LaHakpol Penei Rabba BeRegel. You have to visit the Rebbe. B'zman hazeh, that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the ability to visit the Shechina, so you can't say that it's obligatory to Chayav Adam LaHakpol Penei Rabba BeRegel. So he said, "B'zman hazeh, it's only the Rabbanan. It can't be a chiyuv the Reis. Can't be mechuyev to be mechabed the Rebbe more than you're able to be mechabed the Shechina." That's a Gemara in the end of the first parak in Kiddushin, that when the Rebbe walks into the Beis Medrash, the students stand up only once a day and once at night time. Because just like Kriya Shema, you only recite B'shach Baal Kamecha once in the daytime, once in the nighttime. So the chiyuv to show kavod to the Rebbe is not greater than the chiyuv to be mekabel al malchus shamayim. You can't be mechayev to be mechabed the Rebbe more than you mechayev to be mechabed the Shechina. So that's what the Nadi Behuda says, that Lahakbal Penarba Baregel, Bisman Azeh, cannot be a din de Reis. It's only the Rabbana, because we don't have the ability to visit the Shechin and the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon. The both psukim, Boya midei chodesh b'chodesh midei shabbos b'shabbato, that goes on visiting the Shechina. So chodesh b'chodesh means every Rosh Chodesh, and shabbos b'shabbato means Shalosh v'golim. And the other pasuk, lo chodesh hayom v'lo shabbos, the husband asked the wife, "Why are you going to the Navi? Today is not Rosh Chodesh and it's not Yom Tov. So why are you going to visit the Rebbe? Chayav Adam LaHakpol Penei Rabba BeRegel is only on Rosh HaChodeshim or on Yomim Tovim. not in excess of the chiyuv to visit the Shechina. When Eliyahu Navi was walking with Elisha, that's not in the Haftarah, and he was about to leave this earth. So he told Elisha Navi, if you make a request, the request may be granted. So he asked something like that, Pishnaim Beruchacha, like to have twice the Korach HaNavuah of Eliyahu Navi. So what do you mean twice the Korach HaNavuah? So the Gemara says Eliyahu Navi was on the Mechaya one base, and Elisha was Mechaya two mason. So the bringing the baby back to life in the Haftarah of this week, that was one of the two. That Gemara, giving that interpretation, that's against the Rambam. The Rambam in the Mor Nebuchim writes that the baby stopped breathing for a couple of hours, and with mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, Elisha Novi got him back to breathe. But it's not that Elisha was Mechaya the Meis. He wasn't dead. He just stopped breathing for a couple of hours. Yeah, he can stop. We usually, the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva that he sent to Tzvi Hirsch Chayis. It doesn't have his name on it. All of the tshuvas of the Chassam Sofer, they're less than 10, maybe less than 5, that don't have the name. So this tshuva doesn't have the name because in the middle of the letter that he sent to Tzvi Hirsch Chayis, he writes, what's the matter with you? Are you an apikurvis or something? So they didn't want to be Mavazer Rab Tzvi Hirsch Chayis, so they left out the name to whom the tshuva was written. Rab Tzvi Hirsch Chayis was very proud of his correspondence with the Chassam Sofer, so he published a separate sefer where he has his correspondence. He writes the letter that he sent to the Chassam Sofer, the letter that he responded. So you see that the letter the Chassam Sofer responded, the tshuva was paragraph by paragraph. So that's why the Maritz Chayis raised the issue. He lived in a city in Zalkove in Galicia, with a lot of maskilim there. So they raised the question that maybe we should go along with government regulation that you can't bury a person until 72 hours go by after they signed a death certificate, because sometimes the doctors made a mistake and they thought a person was dead and was really alive, and they were burying people alive. So the Maritz Chayis said, maybe we should go along. Maybe it's takas sofik sakonas nefoshes. So Chassam Sofer writes him back, are you off your mind? When the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the din to Moshe Rabbeinu, kovet tikberenu bayamahu, you bury the people the same day. He must have told them the rule that the Chevra Kadisha have. If the patient is not breathing for 15, 20 minutes, you assume he's dead and you bury him. Once in a long, long while, one case in a million that we made a mistake and we buried a person when he was still alive. That happens very rarely, so rarely. That's not even called a suffix sakana. You don't have to be choshish for that. So the Maritz Chayis quotes on the Rambam and the Mor Nebuchim, who quotes from Galen. I think Galen was a Roman, either a Roman or a Greek doctor. So Galen records that in medical history, there was a person who stopped breathing for a few days. And then after a couple of days, he came to, and he came back to life. So you see that breathing, even though the person wasn't breathing for a few days, it's not considered that he was dead. He came back to life later on. He wasn't dead. That's why the Pashtus is that's not the, we said the Pasuk in Parshas Noach, Kol Shanishmas Ruach Chaim Biapov, the Gemara says if the patient is not breathing, you assume he's dead. That's not the definition of death. That's a similar, though. Usually that's a simon. Once in a long while, there's one chance in a million that that's not a simon of death. Even though he stopped breathing for a couple of days, he's still alive. But usually that's a simon to death, but it's not the definition of death. Definition of death, we said, is blood circulation. Adam hu anefesh. When the blood is still circulating, then the patient is alive. When the blood stops circulating, then the patient is considered dead. Anyway, this Gemara contradicts the Rambam and the Mor Nebuchim. Rambam says that Elisha Navi did mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and the Gemara said not so. Gemara says that Elisha was Mechaya two Meisim, and the baby was one of the two, that he came back to life after he really was dead. Okay, everyone should have a successful Shabbos. This Shabbos, they're asking all of the people who are connected with Yeshiva to celebrate the COVID, the upcoming Chag HaSmicha. So there's what to celebrate. Okay, everyone.